I'm happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Julie Brett Adams. She is a dancer and choreographer, and her show One Woman Dancing, a contemporary dance concert, is coming up this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Santa Fe Playhouse. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So how long have you been doing this? It seems like we've had you on the air a lot of years.
I know. It's kind of a daunting thing to think about. Someone was asking me the other day, and I've been producing concerts in Santa Fe since 1996. So I'm almost 20 years into it.
Very interesting. Concerts that you were in.
Yes.
And you used to be two women dancing.
Right.
Then your collaborator,
Kate Eberly, retired several years ago, although she did join me last year on stage, much to my delight and everyone else's delight. And prior to two women dancing, I co-choreographed and produced concerts called Dancing One Soul at the Armory with groups of dancers.
Right, right. Now, the one woman dancing might lead people to believe that this is a solo concert, but you actually have one man dancing with you.
I do have one man dancing, but since he's a man, I can still call my concert One Woman Dancing. And I have done, as many people know, completely solo concerts, but I gotta say, as the years go by, that becomes more and more difficult.
The stamina. Yeah.
And the stamina gets very challenging.
I mean, a whole concert. I mean, you go to a modern dance performance and there is a solo and a soloist, but then other people come in and change it. But one of the things I love so much about dance, whether it be ballet or modern dance or any kind of performance dance, is that a lot of the choreography ends up being in some kind of abstract way about relationships. So when you have two dancers dancing together, it...
Yes, that is very much the case. However, when I dance solo, I am also embodying characters, sometimes telling stories about relationships or about the aftermath of relationships as a solo performer. But this year, as I am happily joined by my dance partner, Christopher Bowen, who's a native Santa Fean, we are also dancing, of course, in relationship and about relationship.
I love the photograph on your publicity, which is you dressed in red, him dressed in black, both of you wearing high-heeled platform sandals and carrying them, sort of like looking, moving these white objects around. What's going on? Tell us about that dance.
Well, that used to be a solo, which I transformed into a duet for us. It's called Jisei no Ku, which is a Japanese term that refers to the tradition of writing a poem on one's deathbed. And the props that we hold, which are paper sculptures created by local artist Susanna Carlisle, represent our relationship to living and dying. And the piece is a Buto-inspired, very contemplative movement poem with that theme in mind of letting go of life and being very conscious about it.
Very interesting. It's funny because dance is, in a way, the antithesis of death. It's, you have to be so in your body and so alive and so energetic.
Yes, but your art form, the dance, is dying as you perform it. Every movement ends and is over. And dance, unlike the other arts, is really not something that can be experienced any other way than in the moment and present. Yes, you can watch a video of a dance, but then you see a little two-dimensional person or people running around on a screen. Music, we have CDs, not exactly the same, but still strong reproductions, and of course visual artists, writers, all have something that they produce that people can experience. The dancer has their body and the moment, and it's that moment that the audience must be present for, to really experience the depth and the intensity of the work.
So that kind of one-time, non-reproducible, ephemeral nature of the dance, linking it to that kind of cycle of life and death, do you experience it that way as a dancer?
I do. It requires being a dancer and performing, especially with the intentions and aspirations that I have on stage, which is to bring work that is very, very personal, but at the same time universal, and that can touch everyone, requires a deep, deep devotion to being present, to being willing to be vulnerable, whether it's a comical or a not comical moment, and being, of course, saturated into the body at the cellular level.
Let's talk about the kind of music and sound that you use in your performances.
Okay. Well, this year I'm very lucky because one of my dances will have live music played by Jefferson Voorhees. He is a long-term collaborator of mine, both in the making of my dances, but sometimes as the generator of the music. We dance a piece this year, a premiere called Code Cross. And he will be playing the talking drum with also rattles on his ankles. So his whole body becomes very animated percussion machine almost. And the premise for this dance is that I generate a kinetic code with my body moving. He generates a sonic code with his music. And Skip Rappaport, our lighting designer, will generate a visual lighting code as well.
When you say code, what do you mean?
Well, a code is a series of symbols or gestures or sounds. So in the respective embodiments, the codes will be as they are. And the idea is that the codes happen simultaneously, but that they have not been generated for each other. So I made my choreography separately. Jefferson plays what he plays. He's worked that out on his own. And Skip will work out his lighting code on his own, and it will be whatever it will be in the moment.
So you'll experience it like almost in an improvisational way? I mean, a kind of one
in the converging of the three parts, yes. But I have created my choreography and it is set, but depending on Jefferson's sonic code, my choreography may shift or from night to night be slightly different. And he's playing, I'm sure, something different each time because that's the nature.
Yeah.
Of life.
Well, do you, I mean, that's something I was going to ask you is, does the program shift a little bit, a lot from one night to the next? I mean, obviously you've choreographed it, but there seems like there's some openness to change.
This piece definitely has that and will, yes. So I'm even interested to see from night to night, what will this end up being?
Yeah. What is your dance practice like during the, you know, the course of the year? I mean, you do this once a year, but you're active the whole year.
Well, yes, I generate income by teaching dance and fitness classes. I'm headquartered at Fort Marcy Sports Complex, where I teach for the community. So I have the great benefit that my normal, quote, day job keeps me strong and flexible and healthy enough to dance as
nice.
Well.
Yeah, if you were doing a desk job, it would be a whole lot harder.
Well, yeah, that would be very hard.
Is your choreography, I mean, you have some, I guess you would call them old favorites in this, and you've got some new pieces. What's it like to dance the older pieces?
Well, that's a very interesting question because when one creates a dance and brings it to the stage, it goes very, very deep into the body, into the bones, into the marrow of the bones. And so even if one has created a dance 5, 10 years ago, the process of revisiting it, relearning it, because we're going to forget it per se, is almost a magical one. I look at the video and I see the dance, but my body on some level still knows it. And so it's a very interesting process to reclaim the movements and discover them in some ways new for who I am now and what my body does now. One of the dances that I am doing this weekend is called Knowing, and in some ways it's a signature dance for me. Many people have remembered it over and over throughout the years. It's danced with me seated on a prop facing away from the audience with my bare back, and it's a dance all about the musculature and skeletal composition of the back and the movement that is actually quite surprising to people when they see it and remember it. So I'm bringing it back this year.
What's it like to do it now, to do it again?
It feels really good, actually. And I was re-inspired by bringing out the prop and reclaiming the dance. It's it has a deep emotional resonance for me, because when I made it now 15 years ago, I was visiting a man named Angelo at La Residencia nursing home, and he was slowly wasting away from multiple sclerosis. And I visited him every day to provide company and care, and I made the dance during the time that I knew him and was visiting him, but I did not link my relationship and connection to him and his process to the making of the dance. At the time, I thought of the dance being abstract. Oh, I want to make a dance using the back, the poetry of the back, the musculature of the back. But as I got into it over the months creating the dance, one day I had this huge epiphany that this dance was about Angelo, and it was about his losing everything gradually, that the multiple sclerosis was taking away all his ability to move and to function in the world, and the sadness and loss of that, and yet his courage and determination to live and die through his disease really were embodied in the dance. And it was a profound revelation for me.
Very, very interesting. Now, some of your dances have a kind of maybe to some extent narrative or perhaps storytelling element to them. There's one in particular that's about different roles of women.
Yes. That will end the concert this weekend. It's called Same Girl, and it's a dance in three parts. The middle part is to a beautiful ballad by Randy Newman, which is entitled Same Girl. And the lyric is, "You're still the same girl I've always loved. You just have a few more holes in your arm and you've spent a few more nights on the street, but you're still the same girl." And I loved the song. I loved his soulful way of singing the song and the depth of storytelling in his lyrics. So that inspired me to make that piece. And then subsequently, I added other sections to it. So the three sections now embody a younger woman, sort of with a harder edge, more of a defiant whore feeling. Then the same girl is the woman who's really a junkie and burnt out after having lived that life for so many years. And the third girl is her dream, back to innocence of childhood that we all have, that we all knew at one point, or hopefully we all did, when all of the obfuscations and sadnesses that we pull along with us in life are not yet completely ensconced on our back.
Yeah. Now, you play all three parts.
Yes. Christopher will not be playing.
He will not be playing
parts.
Any same girl. tell us more about your collaboration with Christopher.
Well, that's an interesting story. As I mentioned earlier, Christopher is born and raised in Santa Fe, and he was a basketball player through high school. He went to prep and Santa Fe High. And back in 1979, I think, he saw the turning point with Mikhail Baryshnikov. And somehow this tall, lanky basketball jock decided, I want to be a ballet dancer.
Wow.
So he went off into the world to pursue that. Found out pretty quickly that he was not going to become a ballet dancer, but he did become a modern dancer. And his first career in life was as a professional modern dancer, both in the Bay Area and in New York, and eventually several years in France. He danced at the Lido and many other prestigious places in France. And then he retired in his mid-30s and became an architect. So he's been away from his life as a modern dancer for almost 20 years. And we met a year ago, and I'm touched that he was inspired by my work. And he was very surprised to find that as our friendship developed, he became interested in dancing again. And he would say to me, if you had asked me a year ago, would I want to be on the stage? Would I want to make dances? Would I want to perform? I would say, no. But in fact, he was inspired, and we've been working now for months to create this concert and dance together.
That's so interesting. I wonder if there's any somehow connection for him between modern dance and architecture.
Well, definitely there's structure. There's the structure of the body, the structure of the dwelling, the way music and dance relate also has their measures
And symmetries and physics and aesthetics
exactly.
of all kinds. Very interesting. So the two of you, how many dances is he in of all the ones that you're performing?
Christopher and I will dance two duets, okay. And he dances a beautiful solo that he choreographed for himself as well.
And then the rest of the pieces are you, Julie Brett Adams. The concert is called One Woman Dancing, a Contemporary Dance Concert. And it's Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 2 o'clock at Santa Fe Playhouse on East DeVarga Street in Santa Fe. For reservations, you can call the Santa Fe Playhouse at 986-1801. And for more information on Julie Brett Adams and her work, you can go to onewomandancing.com. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.